There's still no prediction when the port of Baltimore might reopen to cargo ships. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The port of Baltimore remains cut off today from the major shipping channel following this week's collapse of the Key Bridge. Supply chains are shifting, with economists predicting limited effect on the economy nationally. But for workers at the port and the economic ecosystem in the region, the effects of the disaster could be long-term. Marketplace's Henry Epp reports.
A lot of work needs to be done in the immediate aftermath of the ship crash and bridge collapse, says Darius Irani, chief economist at Towson University's Regional Economic Studies Institute. Recovery efforts, investigations, cleanup of the bridge debris.
Those are all going to determine how long the port will be closed, and then we'll determine sort of ultimately, will this be sort of a transitional blip or will this be a major economic impact?
Right now, there's no good estimate of how long the shutdown might last. But for the moment, there's still some work at the port, freight for dock workers to unload and for truckers to pick up, says Lewis Campion, president of the Maryland Motor Truck Association.
But that will only be for probably the next week before that freight is gone.
At which point, work could dry up or shift away from Baltimore for the tens of thousands of people whose jobs are tied to the port. Truckers, for example, could have to travel farther to pick up from other parts of the eastern seaboard, Campion says.
That's going to be a very difficult challenge for some of our companies to figure out how to manage the freight that is available but no longer available in Baltimore.
Economic losses in the region could total $10 to $15 million a day, says Darius Irani at Towson, and that'll take a hit on state and local governments, too, up to $1.5 million a day in lost tax revenue. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
A new report from the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco finds that U.S. households accumulated a lot more wealth during the recovery from the pandemic than would have been expected. For more, let's check in with Diane Swonk, chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG. Morning, Diane.
Good morning.
We didn't want the pandemic, let me just stipulate, but for many, it brought with it money that they wouldn't normally have had, according to this Fed San Francisco study.
Yes, what they looked at is how much excess wealth did the pandemic generate for households, and what we saw is $27 trillion more than we would have expected pre-pandemic, and that really is quite a significant uptick, both to everything from the stock market recovering to the surge in home values. So the wealth was more shared than it has been in the past. That doesn't mean that we don't have inequality. We do. And that doesn't mean that there's a lot of excessive wealth out there as well. There is. But what is interesting is how much wealth we've seen in recent years.
Was this stimulus payments from the government to people or the ability to somehow save more because we were stuck inside?
Much more than that. It also was everything from the demand for housing that spiked as interest rates went to zero and people wanted bigger homes as they had to work from home, and the value of housing going up, along with the remarkable performance of equities over the last several years.
Diane Swonk, chief economist, KPMG, thank you.
Thank you.
The convicted crypto fraudster Sam Bankman-Fried gets sentenced in New York today. His lawyers argue he's a first-time nonviolent offender and should get maybe 6 years. Prosecutors are reportedly pushing for between 40 or 50 years, given the large number of victims. In a first, the Biden administration is lending $1.5 billion to restart a nuclear power plant in southwestern Michigan that was set for dismantling. The Palisades plant on the lake east of Kalamazoo was closed in 2022. Inspections, testing, and approval from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission are still required. Prefer hydroelectric dams? Well, production fell 11% last year to a 22-year low. Climate change is making hydropower less reliable, Marketplace's Savannah Maher reports.
About half of the country's hydropower is generated in the Pacific Northwest. The region saw high spring temperatures and early snow melt last year.
The earlier melt that we've been seeing for quite a while is a relatively clear climate change signal.
Adrienne Marshall is a hydrologist at the Colorado School of Mines. She says early, rapid runoff makes it harder to store water and generate hydroelectricity year-round. So utilities turned to other power sources.
We spent in the neighborhood of $100 million purchasing supplemental power for our customers last year.
Kirsty Granger is the CFO of Seattle City Light, the city's electric utility. To make up for the hydro deficit, she says it bought natural gas power, which emits more carbon than hydro does, plus some solar energy.
So it increased rates for all of our customers by 4%.
She says Seattle is working to diversify its energy portfolio as hydropower gets less reliable. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Last week, Tennessee, home of Music Hubs Nashville and Memphis, became the first state to pass a law targeting artificial intelligence that clones musicians' voices. Last year, a song featuring AI clones of Drake and The Weeknd went viral until record labels threatened action, Marketplace's Matt Levin reports.
The internet loves AI Johnny Cash.
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic.
Recording Industry Association of America CEO Mitch Glazer says he thought the Barbie Girl Folsom Prison Blues mashup was pretty funny.
I still think the Johnny Cash estate should get to decide whether they use his voice on something. But the ideas are very clever. And to me, that says that there's a marketplace out there.
That marketplace is basically how much listeners and tech companies might pay for a license to use an artist's voice. So if you have a Rihanna voice clone singing you a personalized rendition of Happy Birthday, the human Rihanna gets paid, which is partly why the record labels push so hard for that Tennessee law.
One of the reasons why we're acting so fast is we don't want those markets undermined before they have a chance to take off.
The Tennessee Act updates the state's right to publicity law, a statute pretty much every state has that says actors or musicians or even us lowly non-celebrities have control over our name or image or likeness. UPenn law professor Jennifer Rothman says the new Tennessee law is pretty aggressive in who might be found liable for using voice clones.
I don't think people even realize how broad it is. It could potentially be a teenager messing around in their bedroom and just putting something on Instagram.
States across the country are updating their right to publicity laws, and Congress is working on a federal version. AI music expert Ed Newton Rex at the nonprofit group Fairly Trained says it's a step in the right direction. But he says the bigger issue is how these AI music models get created in the first place.
The really pernicious threat that this doesn't cover is training these models at all on a bunch of people's work without their consent.
In other words, even if you can't use Johnny Cash's voice, you could use AI that was built on his music to make a new country song. And his estate wouldn't see a dime for that. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
We cloned me with some AI as a test a while back, and that thing could still not sing. The disconnect between the economy and the economy as perceived by voters on the half hour of Marketplace with my colleague Kai Rizdal on many public radio stations later today or streaming from marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.